You know, one of the things I do during this time of year is I do a lot of reading on different things. And I was studying this deeply theological piece, and they were giving their take on the wise men coming and visiting the baby Jesus. And the guy was just kind of making this point, you know, as they tend to do. And he said, you know, it's just weird that they didn't have any wrapping paper, you know, at this site. And he's saying, but I know they didn't, he says, because they would have said something like, lo, there would have been 600 cubits of wrapping paper all over the floor. And, you know, further in the story, Joseph would have said, hey, it's time to throw away the wrapping paper. And Mary would have said, no, that's good paper. Let's save it for next year. And then the baby Jesus would have been more caught up in the wrapping paper than the gold, incense, and myrrh. And so, you know, you just know there was no wrapping paper anywhere in the whole scene. And then he asked this. He goes, why do you suppose that was? And I'm just kind of thinking because wrapping paper didn't exist back then. I don't know. But I think it was just so that they could keep the main thing, maybe the main thing. And I think in the midst of Christmas, sometimes we get so consumed with a whole bunch of extra stuff that we forget about, I don't know, the baby lying in the manger. We forget about Jesus's love. We forget about the fact that we matter. We forget all those things. And so today we didn't come together to talk about wrapping paper, of course, but we came here to celebrate, didn't we? We came here to remember anew that it's not the gifts that you get or give, nor how you wrap them, but that the super important things, and this is what the world tells us is super important, is that you remember to keep the receipts, right? That's what's super important, because you don't know what you're going to give to somebody, and so you got to keep the receipts in case they want to return it. And that big returning thing is a big thing. In fact, I was reading one of the biggest days after Black Friday for people actually shopping and being in the malls and online is... It's actually the day after Christmas, which coincidentally is known as Boxing Day. Anybody know that? It's a holiday. I don't know if there's a coincidence there or not. But this whole idea of the gift exchange is something I want to talk about a little bit more today. Because God has a gift exchange too. And the difference between God's gift exchange and the world's is that God's is way better. He wants to have us give the stuff that we absolutely hate in our lives, the things that we don't want any part of in our lives. I mean, he wants us to bring that to him so that he can give us the things that we've always wanted. He wants us to take those hurts and those pains and those difficulties and those sorrows and those sins, and he wants us to give it to him so that he can replace it with something way, way better. And there's all sorts of things that we could talk about today that we could talk about and use this example of the gift exchange. But I want to give you two that I think have, I don't know, extra meaning, extra importance during this time of year. And so one of the first things I'm just going to give you to think about is this. We give God our worry, and God gives us his peace. I like that. It's an incredible exchange, to be honest, if we can make that exchange. We give him our worry, he gives us his peace. And in Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus just says this about worry. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Do you trust me in this? He says, live one day at a time. So Jesus is telling all of us today, in the midst of the craziness of today, in the midst of the craziness of this month, all those different things, don't worry and don't be anxious. And I think we hear those words and we know that God means them and we know that he'll take that stuff away, but I think it's been hard. We're coming out of COVID still. We got stuff going crazy in our world, in our country, in our lives. We got this month, which just adds a whole bunch of extra crazy, like Mike was talking about, to our lives. And it's been hard not to worry or to be anxious or distressed or even to fear about the future. And if we're honest, I think we bring a lot of this, we do a lot of this to ourselves. I mean, just think, I'm just going to use the month of December, just think about the kinds of extra stuff that we bring upon ourselves during this month. I mean, during this one time of year, we decide to have more parties, go to more parties in this one month than we do any other time of year. I don't know why we do it, but we do it. We work them into our schedules. During this one month of the year, besides all the parties, we say, you know what we should do? We should write a special note to everybody we've ever met in our lives, and we should send it to them. We do other things too. As if that wasn't enough, we say to ourselves, you know what would be kind of fun with the extra time I have is let's totally redecorate the house, both inside and outside. And then we say, hey, let's buy a special gift for everybody that we love. And then on top of all that, as if that wasn't all crazy enough, we say, hey, let's let the kids out of school for 2 weeks. That should do it, right? It's crazy when you start thinking about all the things that we do to ourselves to complicate this time of peace that Mike was talking about. Peace, peace. And the kids are screaming all around their house. Peace, peace. If I just say it enough, will it happen? I don't know. So you start asking in the midst of all this, you say, Pastor, but everybody's doing it. And that's a logic. But we say, hey, everybody's doing it. What's the problem with a little bit of worry? What's the problem with a little bit of stress and anxiety and fear? I mean, you know, it's part of what makes us work, right? So I'm just going to talk about that just briefly. And I just want to say the first one is just objectively. One of the reasons we shouldn't worry is objectively, most of what we worry about is never going to happen. In fact, I was reading a study and it says that statistics say that only 8% of what people worry about actually happens. 8%. 92% of everything that you spend all this time, all this energy consuming yourself over never, ever, ever happens. And objectively, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's not a whole lot of wisdom in it. There's an old Swedish proverb that says, worry casts a long shadow on small things. That's all it ever does, doesn't it? It's never, most of what we worry about just is never going to transpire. And so that's one of the big problems with worry. But it's more than that, isn't it? Worry affects us too, personally. It affects us in our mental capacity. It affects us spiritually. It affects us physically. It affects us in so many different ways. Worry has a physical impact on our life. It creates stress and tension and headaches and insomnia and you name it and you name it and you name it. Our bodies are not made for stress. There's a negative impact on us when we're stressing. You've heard people say, I'm worried sick. Well, it's because that's what it does. In America, I was reading this week that there will be 7.5 billion headaches this year in America, 2022. That seems like a lot. And so to remedy that, there's actually 165 tons of headache pills that we will take every month as well. Much of that, again, because of the stress and the anxiety and the worry and even the fear that we bring upon ourselves or that's just in our lives because of events that we can't control. So what do you do? Well, here's the weird thing about worry, and really a lot of the things. It doesn't do any good to try not to worry. Has anybody experienced that? Because then you start worrying about the fact that you're worrying, and you've added a whole other worry to your list. So instead, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get involved in my exchange program. And I want you to bring me your worry, and here's what I'll do for you. I'll give you my peace instead. It's a whole different way than trying to get rid of the worry, isn't it? God just says, give me your worries and let me give you my peace. There's an incredible exchange that happens in the midst of that. In 1 Peter 5:7, he says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. And when you give God your worries, and when you say, God, here they are, right? Here's what I'm facing. Here's what I'm going through. Here's what I'm stressing about. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's my fear. When you give them to God, and you can trust that, and you're just saying, God, here, there's a tangible experience that you get because he replaces that immediately with his peace. I keep sharing that story with you. Several years ago, I started doing this when I be up in the middle of the night stressing or worrying about something, and I realized what I was doing. I would just give it to God, and God would give me the peace to go back to sleep, the peace to shut my mind down, the peace to say that he's got this. And he wants to give everybody that. Because I know we lose focus on the main thing. We lose focus on the fact that God's got us, that he cares, that he loves us, that he's there. And we get consumed with everything else. He says, give me that everything else. And let me replace it with peace. And when we can do that, I think a couple of things happen. I think, first of all, one of the things that we start to realize or re-remember is God's actually in control. And we forget that when we watch the news or when we get preoccupied on the health or the job or whatever the deal, the family. When we worry, we often worry about things, too, that are outside of our control. And then, so we worry because we believe this, and I'm convinced we actually believe it, that if we worry enough about it, maybe we will be able to control it, right? It doesn't make any sense, but that's what we think. And so we try to control the uncontrollable, and we try to fix the unfixable and do the undoable by worrying about it. If somehow there's a power in our mind. But the problem is, and we've all experienced this, is no matter how much we worry about it, doesn't really do a thing to the thing that we're worrying about. All it's doing is having a negative impact on us. It's making us more discouraged, more unhappy, more frustrated, more stressed, more hopeless. But we just can't seem to get out of that worry cycle, can we? We just keep consuming ourselves over and over. But God says this to us, then give it to me. I mean, let me control the things that you can't control. Let me take these things that are spiraling you out of control. Let me take these things and actually do something about it, and let me instead give you peace. And I love the example, and I keep using it, but when you were 5 or 4 or whatever, and you ran into mom and dad's room, you were freaked out about your dream, but what happened? You got in mom and dad's room, and there's a magical force in there that said everything's going to be okay. And you experience peace. And you're able to go to bed. You're able to go to sleep because mom and dad were there. We have a God that's way bigger than mom and dad. That can do anything. Nothing's impossible for him. God says, I got this. And he will exchange it for peace every single time. But there's also a second thing that happens. It reminds us, too, that God actually cares about us. God cares about what we're worried about. It could be the silliest thing in the world. God cares about the fact that you're worried about it. It could be something you don't want to tell anybody else that you're worrying about, but God cares about what you're worrying about. And so God says, hey, give it to me. He cares about everything that you're going through, the pains, the ups, the downs, the things that are going to happen tomorrow, the things that you're afraid about. God says, I've got this. I see this. I know this. I know that you're struggling. I care so much. I see it when you're crying. I know when you're hurting. I care about every moment of your life. And isn't that why we celebrate Christmas? To be reminded that God cares? That he's true to his promises? Isn't that why Jesus came to this earth? So that he could shout in the loudest possible way, I care about you guys. I love you guys. I've come to save you. And so we give God our worries and we recognize that he's in control. We recognize that he cares and we get a gift in return. And he started, well, what is that gift? Well, in John 14:27, Jesus tells us, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace of this world that it gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. We give him our worry. In this cool exchange program, he gives us his peace. What else does he do? When we give God our hurts, he gives us his healing. And something that's maybe a strange thing to talk about during Christmas, but it's actually not. Most of our hurts come from people, and Christmas is a time where, we're thrust back into the past with people that we care about or cared about. We're thrust into the presence with the real problems and the real difficulties and the things that we're stressed and worried about. I think there's real hurts that become very manifest, unfortunately, during this very special time of year. So he says, bring me your hurts, and I'll give you healing. Now, one of the things I hope you realize as we go through this is that and it's hard to believe maybe, but everybody in here is hurting in some way. I don't think I would have believed that had I not been a pastor, but over my years as a pastor, I've realized that everybody has hurts in different ways. Everybody's struggling with something. It may be an emotional hurt, a physical hurt, a spiritual hurt, a relational hurt, but we're all hurting someplace. And the truth of the matter is the Bible does not tell us that there's this magical place or this magical experience on this earth where we don't have pain, where we don't have hurt. It actually talks about a place like that. It's heaven, but in heaven there is no pain, there is no sorrow, there's all sorts of great stuff. But on this earth, there'll be difficulty, there will be struggle, there will be pain. Why? Because there's sin in this world. You sin against others, they sin against you. There's original sin, which complicates our health, which complicates our experiences. It's just sin has wrecked everything, and so we have pain. In fact, the psalmist talks about these in different ones, and in Psalm 130, verse 1, the psalmist writes, from a sea of troubles I call out to you, Lord. In Psalm 138, verse 7, again, though I am surrounded by troubles, you'll bring me safely through them. Your power will save me. Did you notice those two phrases? Sea of troubles. I think the truth is that's what life is like sometimes, isn't it? A sea of problems, a sea of difficulties, a sea of frustrations. Things are not going according to plan. Things are not going in a helpful way. And they're hurting you, and they're causing you pain, and they're causing you frustration. Or how about again the next phrase? I'm surrounded by troubles. And again, I think that's the truth of what life is like sometimes too. We're just surrounded. But we're going to have troubles in this world. The question is not, are you going to have struggles or not? The question is really, how are you going to deal? How are you going to respond to the troubles that are in your life that are inevitably going to happen just because we live in this complicated, messed up world because of sin? So how are we going to react? How are we going to respond? And the answer that God gives us is, he says, look, well, let me give you a couple of things. From the book of Psalms, the psalmist responds, and then Nahum actually responds to this. In Psalm 138, he says, I'm surrounded by my troubles, but I realize, I remember that you're going to bring me safely through. Wouldn't that be a cool verse to remember as you're going through something? I'm surrounded by difficulty. I'm surrounded by relationships that are broken. I'm surrounded by financial concerns. I'm surrounded by all the stresses in life, but you're going to somehow see me safely through. Why do we know that? Because he's promised to work all things for the good of those who love him, that he's promised to walk every step along with us as we go through this life, that he promises that he cares, that he promises that he loves us, that he promises he's invested in our life, so much so that he sent Jesus to this world to save us. It would be a powerful thing if we could remember that in those moments. Or how about the Nahum chapter 1, verse 7? The Lord is good. Remembering that when things are hard is hard as well. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. So if you're getting into this line of this gift exchange thing that God has going, one of the things you have to realize is all these hurts that you're experiencing are unfortunately normal to man. We get to experience them, the hardships, the difficulties, the frustrations. And the other thing I want you to remember as we go through this is you need to re-remember maybe the same thing that we did when we talked about the worry. We need to remember that God cares about us in the midst of them. There's an interesting old phrase that says, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. I think there's a lot of truth in that, but what it's saying is I can choose hope. I can choose to hope in my God that he will somehow, some way get me through this. That's his promise to us. But if I'm going to hope in my God, right? If I'm going to trust him with all the troubles that are in my life, then I have to know, I have to trust that he cares about the stuff that I'm going through. Because it's hard to trust in a God that you think doesn't care or you think that's not interested. But God absolutely cares enough to send his son. And so know that he knows everything that you're going through right now, that he cares about everything that you're experiencing right now, the problem, the hurt, the pain, the difficulty, all the stuff that's part of life. But know that he cares. In fact, when Mary, when she learned she was going to have a baby, one of the first things that she uttered came out of her mouth were from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 48. Mary said this, he cares for me. He cares for me, his humble servant. She was totally amazed that she is this almost peasant human, right? I mean, insignificant in terms of the world, that God cared for her. And not only did he care about her, he was going to use her out of all the people on earth to change the world. So in the same way, I want you to know that God cares about you. In the midst of life, where it is right now, what you're going through. And not only did God care, right? But he continues to show that care for us again and again and again. So know again, he cares about what you're going through. And so when we bring our hurts to God, when we realize that he cares about us, and we actually give them to him, again, there's this amazing thing that happens. God promises in his love that he will forgive and that he'll heal. I love that it's both. There's some hurts that are not physical, right? They're hurts from the past. They're guilts that we carry. They're things that complicate our relationships today. There's things that complicate what we do and how we act. God says, there's forgiveness for those things. You don't have to keep walking around with these things. I've forgiven you. Went to the cross for you, by the way. You can receive that forgiveness. You can't earn it. There's no way you can work at getting forgiven. You just have to receive it. But the pains and the hurts and that healing that he talks about are similar. Have you ever tried to get over being hurt? It's hard, isn't it? So God says again, bring me the broken part, the broken thing that you got, and let me replace it with my gift. And trust that I will provide. And trust that I will be there. And trust that I will take away that pain and restore joy to your life. So you start asking, well, how does God do this? And in this case, the how is actually a who. It's actually the who that Christmas is all about. It's all about Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that he starts to do all this in our life, isn't it? Jesus came to this world to turn worry into peace. He came to this world to turn hurts into healing and grief into joy and sins into forgiveness. That's what Christmas is all about. In fact, look at what the angel said at the very first Christmas in Luke 2, verse 10 through 11. The angel said to them, the shepherds out in the field, he says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And note the word Savior there. That's what this joy is all about. It's the joy, it's the good news that he's bringing. "I've come to save you," he says. Now, I know the word Savior is not something we use a whole lot in our world today. So I want to give you some examples of that. You're up on Camelback Mountain and you slip, and I guess you're in a precarious position because you're falling off the side and you're holding on by your fingertips. You know they're not going to hold for very long. You know you're probably going to fall and things are going to get bad very quickly, when all of a sudden your friend that's with you grabs hold of your arm, pulls you to safety. You would have died, but somehow he was there or she was there, and they pulled you up to safety, and in that moment, they were your Savior. Or maybe, let me give you a different one. You need a heart transplant, and you've been waiting and waiting. All of a sudden, one becomes available that your body responds to, and it works. And they put the heart in, and yeah, sure enough, you're good to go. You're going to live now. In other words, you were going to die. But somebody had to die so that you could live. They didn't want to die, but they had to die so that you could live. When it comes to Jesus, he chose to die for you. He chose to give up his life for you because he loves you that much, so that he could be your Savior. So Jesus came, he was born into this world, he lived his life for us, he died on the cross for us, he was resurrected for us, and he says, "I'll live the perfect life, and then I'll offer it up to you so that when you come to judgment day, you don't have to say, 'Look at me, God,' you can say, 'Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He died on the cross so that you could forgive everything that I've ever done wrong. He did for me what you promised that you would do. He did for me what nobody else could do. He died so that you could forgive me this day.'" And that's what it means that Jesus is our Savior, isn't it? That's how worry starts to turn into peace, and hurts start to turn into healing, and sorrows start to turn into joy. It's when we realize, maybe for the first time, that we have a Savior at Christmas in this little baby Jesus. The God that pursues you with his love, the God that loves you more than you can comprehend, came to save you. And all God's people said, amen. Let me pray. Father, there's so many things, I guess, we could have talked about in this exchange program. But one of the things or truisms that comes with each one of the things that we would talk about is we can't seem to get healthy by ourselves. We can't seem to get rid of the worry by ourselves. No matter how much we try not to worry, it seems like we worry more. It's hard for us to get rid of the hurts. It's hard for us to really receive the forgiveness. It's hard for us, Lord. And so you've taken away all the difficulty and you just say, "Come to me and bring this stuff in so I can exchange it. Let me take the stuff that you don't want to be part of your life and let me replace it with stuff that you've always wanted to be part of your life. And so let me forgive and let me heal and let me renew and let me give peace and let me give strength to your lives because I love you so much." And that's a prayer today in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.